In years past, the government didn't stay out of religion, did it? Now they're running around saying, oh, we got to have separation of church and state. But from the time that this country was founded, the civil government and the people who acted in that were not deist, were not secularist. They were people who acknowledged that there was an almighty God and a creator, somebody that they knew was responsible for the blessings, and that we should seek them and give that personage thanks. It's just been in the last few decades that that has been changing, and folks, we've been lied to. You start going back through our history, and there is more and more of the acknowledgement of God in our country than what you would begin to realize, and they're trying to bury it away from us. It's coming home to roost, by the way. I was reading on, just in news and religious reports, it's starting to come back on them. And yesterday, the Ecumenical Council of, get this, the Catholic Church, Evangelicals, and the Orthodox Church, and a few other sprinklings of other denominations, got together, wrote up a 2,000-page manifest, and basically said, this far, no farther, and we will not take it any longer. And it actually says, if our government tries to step on, and it names four basic things, and one of them is religious liberty and the ability to speak from the pulpit anything that's in the scriptures or God lays on your heart, it calls for and states it in the document, we call upon the people to rise up in civil disobedience. That is the first drop. That it's coming down to the place where the quote silent majority that's been around for years is finally saying, we have had enough. Here are the places that we will not let you cross. You try to cross it and we will stand against you. And it goes on to say, the people that sign this or the people that are agreeing to it, and it's got archbishops, it's got like Chuck Colson, evangelical people in it, and they're saying, we as the people who are signing it, anybody else that chooses to sign it, are doing what the founding fathers did. We're willing to lay down our lives, our freedom, our money to take a stand against what's happened in this country and what they're trying to shove upon us. We will not take it any longer, folks. That's scary stuff. When was the last time you heard of Christian people standing up going, we will fight you on this? Not just write letters, but literally fight you on this. And when I say literally fight, I mean it in the sense of like Martin Luther King and that kind of civil disobedience. We will not do it. You cannot make us. You haul us off to jail. We don't care. We will stand against you in every way we possibly can without coming to violence. That's scary stuff. And the reason it's scary is because this is the one thing that all governments fear, to push religious people till those religious people say, we won't take it. Because when they religious people get to that point, they are convinced that God is on their side, they really don't care. What are you going to do to us? New Testament tells us, Paul tells us, we will fear nothing. What can man do to us? Shall height, shall depth, shall power, shall principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And on this, having done all, we will stand. We will stand. I am not advocating that you go sign that paper. I'm just telling you what's coming up. And I'm telling you this, that unless we follow the dictates of our former presidents, governors, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, there's other people who've signed these kind of proclamations over the years, unless we do what they say and start praying for our governments, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, didn't say it took all of us, it just said if my people, some of his people would start standing up and start praying, this can be stopped before it gets really bad. But it might get really bad. These are the things that we've talked about over the years, and people's going, oh, do you think he'll ever come to that? No, I don't think he'll ever come to that. Finally, there is a group of people saying, folks, it's come to that. We will not take gay marriages. We will not perform the weddings. We will not recognize them. We will not support them. We will speak out against them. There's things in the scriptures that you cannot read in England, in Canada, and other countries across the world. And they're saying, we will read those things and we will tell our people exactly what our scripture says, and you will not stop us from doing that. You can haul us out of our pulpits and imprison us. You do that, but our church people will start then proclaiming the same thing. I'm not afraid. I'm concerned. I'm not afraid. Who would have ever thought that in our lifetime that there would be an eclectic group of people stand up and say, this far and no farther? I never thought it. Let me read to you the prayer that Franklin D. Roosevelt, this is his prayer. He made this proclamation that we should all gather and pray. And then he said, let us pray. And here's the prayer. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought hither out of all kindreds and tongues. Endue with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name we trust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth, in the time of prosperity fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble suffer not our trust in thee to fail. Amen. That last line, just in the day of trouble suffer us not to our trust. Suffer not our trust in thee to fail. I love it. That's where we are. We're at that time. We've been blessed and blessed and blessed. Now we've got to pray and stand. Pray and stand. I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm telling you to start thinking and pray about it, because just because. If I could find a bulletin, I would say things like Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us met to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us, and it's he who has accomplished all this. We give thanks to him because he accomplished that we should become partakers of the inheritance of the holy ones of light in light. We should become one of those people who are set apart by our God. He is the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he is the one who has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. These are things that we are to be thankful for. These are things that we are to build our life upon, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of our sin. And once again, we're back to the foundational points of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the forgiveness of sin. And all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know about you folks, but I've been blessed. Yesterday I was blessed, 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 and blessed again. I took my sister. We went to Evansville. There was a few things that I'd like to have. And God blessed me with just absolutely every one of them. Not that they were just there. They were on sale. They were cheap. They things that they said, no, we don't have, they said, oh, look, here's one. Have this one. Things that I had been looking for, and then he topped it all off with a bag of cat food on sale, $4 cheaper than normal, and a big pack of collard greens that I did not know how to cook, but I saw this lady who had them in her cart, and I said, ma'am, and she was talking, she had a southern accent, and I said, and she said, what can I do for you? And I said, how do you cook those things? And she went on to explain to me how to cook collard greens. I've got me a mess of collard greens, and tonight for supper I'm going to find out if I like collard greens, and they're going to be prepared just like they are down in Mississippi. That includes ham, bacon grease, and 2 hours of slow simmering cooking. I will tell you if I remember next week whether I like them or not, but I was excited. I had been looking for quince for weeks. And I finally asked somebody, and every place I went, no quince, no quince, no quince, no quince, no quince. And I said, Vicki, let's stop at the Walmart. No other Walmart's got quince. Nobody's got quince. But I'll sit there and wonder all the way home, were there quince? Yes! And not only that, they were half price from what they were last year. I'm going, there is a God. I went home and I was happy. I had my quince, cheap cat food, collard greens, egg cups, and an egg spoon. I mean, it doesn't take much to get me happy or excited. Egg cups and egg spoons. I was just, God is good. God is good on the small level of things. God is good about the things like, I even found a gold charger. Not just one, but four that usually cost $20 a piece. I found them for $5. Yes, I now have a set of gold chargers. That's those gold things you put under your plate so when you're sloppy it doesn't fall on the placemat that you put under your plate to keep it from getting sloppy, your tablecloth. Well, I've got three layers of protection now, people. But I got a gold charger, and I've got a little egg cup, and I've got an egg spoon, and I've got quince that's going to be cooked in a few days, and collard greens, and cheap cat food. Life is good. I am thankful. But that is the stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that stuff will be added to you. All that kind of stuff. We should be expecting God to bless us, not as in, will you come on, come through, but as, oh my, look, here's things that I have been thinking about for 2 or 3 weeks, just trifling with, going, well, that would be nice, I would like to try this, or I'd like to have that, or isn't that neat, or isn't that cool, or I'm messy, I need a gold charger to put under the plate to protect my placemats. And in one fell swoop, God just one after the other, after the other. But it's not just limited to that kind of stuff. By the way, I'm supposed to pass on thanks to this church because there is a person who listens to the sermons every day. She turns them on for a half hour. That's what she's got, some stuff she's got to do, and she says a half hour, about the same time as a sermon. I turn it on and I listen every day, and I am so thankful for this church providing that service to these, to me and the other people that she's been talking to, and they live in another state, and on and on and on. So there is something else that people are thankful for. Because of this church, lives are being changed. I hope because of this church, your lives are being changed, because she even has come around to saying, you wouldn't believe the way God is blessing me constantly. I no longer have to fight and work it up. I just say, God, Jesus Christ died for me. I have righteousness given to me. And based on that, you are being good to me. Not because I earn it, I deserve it, or I prayed it up, or I confessed it up, or I did all the things that I've been told all my life I had to do, but because of Jesus Christ, and I trust you. Do you lack? No, you don't. If you lack, you got a problem. The first thing we read in the scriptures this week was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you lack? No. Why not? Because the Lord is my shepherd. That's why. It's not because I have a good job. I know people that's got good jobs that make lots and lots and lots of money, and they still lack. They lack stuff. They lack happiness. They lack joy. They lack peace. They lack all that stuff, and I've got it. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And what's the second line of that say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. If He's your shepherd, the first thing that He does after saying you're not going to lack anything is lay down, rest. You can trust me. I will take you to the places you need to be fed. I will take you to the places you need to be watered, but you have got to trust me as your shepherd. Don't fear the evil. Don't fear the government. Don't fear the ruling. Don't fear swine flu. By the way, they're saying 20,000 people in the United States has died of swine flu. Scary stuff. But listen to what they say. 20,000 people have been projected to have died from swine flu. Projected. What's going on, and they will admit it if you start digging around, is they don't know how many. They just made up a number, and they say we are making the assumption that there are so many people who have died, and out of all those people that died, we project that 20,000 of them was infected with swine flu. We don't know that they died from swine flu. We project that. It's a made-up number. They could have projected 1,200 just as easy. But they've made such a big deal out of this. They're trying to say, we are now justifying it, but we don't want a real count because we're liable to look stupid. Therefore, we will project 20,000 people have died so far from swine flu. Don't buy that number, folks. When they use words like project, don't buy that number. Demand of them, what's the actual count? What is the actual count? They won't give it to you. The reason I say all this is because we are to fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are to be resting and trusting in our God, that He is our shepherd and He will take care of us, feeding us, leading us, guiding us, and giving us whatever we need to drink and to live in this life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what they're telling you on the news. Don't be afraid of what announcements they're making, because we know statistics can lie and can be manipulated. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's not something, I'm not calling them liars, but I'm saying don't bet the paycheck on what they're telling you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. In everything, give thanks. That was something that I have been told for years to do, something that's just grated on my nerves. Why should I give thanks for things that I know that are bad? And yet it says in all things we are to give thanks. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. Again, thank ye that my excuse... Nope, I'm in the wrong chapter. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Yeah. We'll find out. If not, I'll just tell you what it says and you can look it up on your own. We're going to have to look it up on our own. He says that he revels in his weaknesses. He revels in his weaknesses. That's because, and this is where that give thanks in all things, and that's why I wrote there problems with potentials, because in my weakness, he is made strong. I don't need God's help in something that I can do for myself, but in areas where I need God, those are the areas where I get to be the person who displays and shows off the good things that God can do for me. That's why he was so happy when he got into an area of weakness. He knew that at that point, God would have to be strong for him. We're coming in what we talked about last week, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, because right at the area that we are weak, right at the area where we need the help, that is right where God's going to have to do something, and then we can say, it wasn't me that did that, that was God Almighty intervened and did that for me so that I could brag about Him. In all things give thanks. What's your problems? What's your problems? Quit looking at them as problems and start trying to refocus your way of looking at it and say, these are areas of potential to see my God work in my life so I can brag about Him. What's your problems? Refocus it. Let me tell you another story that I just flat out lifted from another guy. I heard it. I thought it was brilliant. It makes sense. It works. It explains a lot of stuff. The children of Israel, when they was going into to Jericho, remember last week we talked about them going into Kadesh Barnea. God said, go up. They said, oh no, we can't do that because there's giants. There'll be giants in the land and the land will eat us up. And oh, scary things are happening. And then they said, oh, would to God that we would die in the wilderness. And God said, that's what you said, let it be unto you. We've got to learn to listen to what we say and make sure that what we say is confession of the same thing that God says. He says to rejoice in all things. So when we have something bad to happen to us, we should give thanks saying, God, I don't like the problem, but I do like the idea that you are going to come to my rescue and set this straight, and somehow you are going to intervene into this so that I can brag about you to all these people. The reason we're Christians is to make the Jewish nation envious of us. Yeah, it's in the scriptures to make them jealous so that they will say, why is it God is blessing the Gentiles? Because Jesus Christ was your Messiah and you didn't pick up on it, so he's blessing us. You can have that same kind of blessing. And he says we should be blessed in such a way that other people will be envious of us, so that they will say, what is it they have that I don't, that they are living such a good life? And I don't mean scraping by. A lot of times I think we go to the sea or the ocean of God's grace and we get a cup of seawater out and we throw it on ourselves, and we get a tablespoon of sand and we throw that on ourselves, and then we go home and say, yes, I experienced the ocean and the beach. And we say to God, oh, I just need enough just to get by, God. Just give me enough to get by, and that's all. You know how I pray, and I hope you people take this up. God, I want it and I want it all. Jesus Christ died to give me an abundance, a superabundance of grace, and I want to experience it so that I can say to other people, that's my God, that's my Christ. He died for me. He made me righteous. He listens to what I have to say. He gives me the desires of my heart, and I lack for nothing because he is my shepherd. I don't want just a teaspoonful. I want buckets and buckets and tankloads. I want as much grace as I can stand. I want it all. I want to experience so that I can say, and this is the codicil, I don't want it just to heap it upon myself. I want it all so I can stand there in the midst of this blessing going, it's God, folks. It's God. Come over here and I'll tell you about our God, and I'll tell you how to get saved, and I will tell you how to have that righteousness in your life so that you will have that peace and harmony with God Almighty the Father, and he'll no longer be angry with you, and you will have joy knowing that all your problems are going to be taken care of because of all this good grace that's just being poured out upon me, and it can be you in the same way. All of our problems should be looked at as the children of Israel did it at Jericho. It's an interesting thing. Never thought about it. Part of it I stole. Part of it God explained to me this morning. They went into the land of Jericho. They walked across the Jordan River, which, by the way, split open for them. They went across dry land. It closed up. They got over there, and Joshua said to them, children, this is what's going to happen this time. You're going to walk around that city every day for 7 days, and you're not going to say a word. I never thought about why did they not say a word. They were walking around a big city. They was walking around a city with great big walls. They were walking around a city. But he had learned the last time that when Moses said, yes, at Kadesh Barnea, you guys can go there, spy out the land, and come back, the people started talking about it. Oh, it's good. And you know how rumors start. One little rumor, well, this person doesn't like this, or this person doesn't like that, or this person does this, and finally it's just a humongous. And they said, we are like grasshoppers to these giants. Well, you look at Goliath, he might have been 7-8 foot, you might give him 9 foot tall, but David was not that big. Things get exaggerated in fear. We are not to be that way. They went up and they saw this stuff. They came back and they started talking to each other. He said, I want you to walk around Jericho and I don't want you to talk to each other. I want you to be quiet. I want you to walk around and observe. I want you to think about your God. I want you to go around and be quiet. So that the people couldn't say, hey, look at that wall. Ain't that a big wall? Oh my gosh, look, they've got arrows. Oh, they've got spears. Oh my goodness, this is a scary thing. And he's got us out here walking around and we can't take this city. He said, I don't want you talking to each other because you will talk negative to each other. Just be quiet. Walk around and keep your mouth shut. Why did they walk around the city? I didn't know. I thought about it for a while and God said, did you ever think they was walking around the city so that they would put it in perspective in their mind what was really going on in that city? I have had people come to me and say, oh, here's dire straits. Here's a dire announcement. And I'm just overwhelmed with what they tell me. And my little heart and my little body and everything goes, oh, no, I'm in trouble now. And I go home and I say, breathe deep, Doyle. And then as I start reflecting upon what they've told me, the reality of it starts dawning on me. It's like the swine flu shots that this national disaster was coming our way. But as I walked around and kept my mouth shut until I started talking to you guys about and thought about what was being said, I'm going, this isn't adding up. What they're saying isn't making sense. They walked around that city to see their enemy from all sides so that they could put in true perspective of what was really going on. Those people on those walls were no bigger than what they were. Those people on those walls were actually going to find out how big their God was. Those people on those walls didn't know that they had a spy among them. And that was Rahab, who had told them all the things they needed to know about Jericho. And they went around the city, and they went around the city. And finally, do you know what they did? They blew their horns. They blew the trumpets. Thousands of people blowing horns. Scary noise. Now it's those people on the walls going, oh my gosh, what's going on? This is the point the man made to me that I never understood. Why were they blowing the ram's horns? The reason you blow ram's horns is to announce this one thing. The ram is dead. You don't get the horns off of a ram till you've killed the ram. The ram is dead. The ram, get this in your head, the ram always signifies Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice. They were blowing the horn. Jesus Christ died. That's the way we're to be looking at it. We are to go to whatever our problems are. Give it some thought. Don't get terrorized when they tell you whatever it is that's going to happen to you is happening. And oh my gosh, and we start running. Keep your mouth shut and start walking around the problem and thinking about it. If you can't do it physically, do it mentally. Do it spiritually. Saying, God, let me see the truth of what I'm really looking at. Walk around it. Think about it. Contemplate it. And then when you get your nerve together through the Holy Spirit giving you the strength, pull out this one thing. Proclaim His death until He comes. Jesus Christ died for me. I have right standing with my God. He has empowered me and given me all the power of the Holy Spirit. God is on my side. I don't care how big your wall is. God is a lot bigger. I don't care what's going on inside that wall. My God is going to whip you. I don't have to knock that wall down. My God will knock that wall down. And that's what the blowing of the trumpets was to symbolize, is there has been a sacrifice of a ram, and we are now in right standing with our God, and He is on our side. And that's the way we're supposed to be approaching our lives and the problems in our lives. Give it some time. Make a few times around the old city of Jericho. Whatever you've got, it's a problem. Put it inside Jericho. And then walk around the outside of it and be quiet. Let God speak to you and let Him put it in true perspective. And then when you've got it together, stand up and say, Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus Christ has empowered me. I have nothing to fear. Not man, not the devil, nobody. And stand there and look it in the eye, because the Bible also says, to show no fear is a sign of destruction to your enemies. To show no fear is a sign of destruction to your enemy. Once they have lost the bluff on you, they have lost so much power over you that they are the ones who are going, oh my gosh, I can no longer control them. It's like tying an elephant up with a rope, and when they're little, they can't get away, and then when they're big, it doesn't matter. It just takes a little bit of rope because they've learned they can't go any farther. Their leg has always been stuck to that little puny stake over there by a chain when they were kids. Now that they're grown up, it's just a little rope that they could walk away from real easy. Elephant handlers do not want their elephants to find out they are bigger than they are. The bluff loses out. The elephant is lost control. Folks, we are an elephant. You are an elephant. I'm not meaning that in a bad way. I'm meaning it in a positive way. You've just got to come to the conclusion, I can overcome because Jesus Christ is on my side. He died for me to give me the strength and the power and the clarity of thought. I will stand here waiting for Him to knock down all the walls, and then I will go in and finish up the mop-up. He will lead me, He will guide me, and He will direct me. I fear nothing because God is on my side. Why not? I've been around the city. I've looked you over. I'm now proclaiming and blowing the horn that Jesus Christ died for me and God's on my side. I do not fear you. We have so much to be thankful for because what other people on the face of this earth can look at any problem in their life and say to it, I do not fear you. I do not fear you. Only us, folks. Only us. Should we be afraid of what's going on in our country? No. Should we worry about all the manifestos? No. Why? He's on our side. He hears our prayers. He will bless us. If the markets crash, He is our provider. Crops fail, I will lead you into green pastures and make you lie down there. I will put you in places where you will be eating and dining and your enemies will be standing there going, how does this happen? Why does this person always get blessed? Because God's on my side and Jesus Christ is the one that made that way open for me. He's the one that caused me to come in and sit down and say, I want you to dine and I want your enemies to be jealous. But when they come to you and say, how is it? You explain to them the truth of Jesus Christ so that they too can become partakers. Because if somebody hadn't explained it to us, we would be the people on the outside of the restaurant looking in with our little noses smashed against the window going, why can't that stuff happen to me? Why can't I have joy in my life no matter what is coming my way? Folks, we need to follow what our presidents have said. In the times of good times and bad times, we need to spend some on the proclaimed day by our secular government and spend some time in the presence of our Almighty God and say, here's some problems in our country. We've got some perspective on them. And God, we want to see you intervene so we can point and say, that's our God. That is our God. We are not a defeated people. We're just a people that hadn't stood and said, that's our God. We will go no farther. We're standing.